This is Kristen Powers. She runs an organization that provides housing and training, and she's going to tell us all about it in North Carolina. And man, I would love to see this kind of thing more often.
Yeah,
Anyway,
I
take it
do.
away, Kristen P from or Kristen Powers from Benevolence Farms.
So, great. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Kristen Powers, with Benevolence Farm, and I have some slides just for some visual help. I won't maybe
Let me
put
make
them.
sure that this oh yeah, Chuck's the dude. He knows. I don't have to do anything.
Okay, let me get that
I
set
love
up.
not doing anything.
So it's saying still disabled on my end, but I can give it a second.
Chuck, is there oh here, all participants. I know how to do that. I did it. Okay. Now I think it's supposed to do it.
All right, let's see.
I
Sounds
don't know.
good.
It
That
says
can
who
do.
can share all participants.
Yep, we got it.
Hurrah.
All right. Well, hello everyone. Again, Kristen. I usually present with Mona, who's listed here, but I'm flying solo tonight. My hope tonight is I can share a little bit of an overview of who we are, what we do, answer any questions y'all have, and go from there. But we are founded Benevolence Farm in part in a reaction to this massive increase of women's incarceration, really
Wow.
skyrocketing with the war on drugs since the 1970s. And to this day, women are still the fastest growing demographic, incarcerated
Wow.
majority in jails. But also in prisons. So our founder in 2007, when he was observing this, she's a social worker, was thinking about what services people need coming home from prison, which for all genders is pretty similar, but particularly, you know, 94% of incarcerated women are survivors of childhood physical, intimate partner violence or sexual
Yep,
abuse.
yeah.
And so they wanted a place that was, you know, was gender affirming and also like where you could feel safe talking about things like menstrual cycles and all the things that may be a little bit more sensitive. And there are some more like subtle differences between men and women. Like I don't have the expertise to run a men's reentry home. I think like I very much am an expert in women's reentry because of just how I know some of our peer organizations who do support men. There are nuances, which is again importance of
Course.
having a diverse set of selections of places to return after incarceration. But from, you know, the beginning, we knew that both, again, all genders, but us, you know, women in particular with housing insecurity, there's some studies that show women are more prone to being unhoused for longer because often when they're incarcerated, their support system falls out from underneath them. And they may not have a safe place to go back to afterwards, but the studies show that st this stable housing employment are key indicators of remaining in community. This is also true in communities in general, just when people's basic needs are met or they have access to therapy or medicine, the rates of incarceration are much lower. And so we know though, once you have a felony record, it can be nearly impossible for acquiring certain
Yeah.
types of housing and employment.
Yeah, and you add the partic my organization's challenge, we add to that. So it's even harder if you're on the registry to find a place.
And I would, I'm gonna sp definitely speak to that because I know that's
Sorry, for
the
interrupting.
room we're in. Oh, you're fine. But yeah, generally, there are some studies that show if you disclose you have a criminal record, half of your application, half these applications, and now it's digital, so people are getting screened out,
Yeah. So no one
even
even sees
more.
them. Right. No one even has a conversation with them.
Or employers are not disclosing why they're denying people, which is a requirement under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. But many people don't, even the people we work
Wait,
with, we have to
what's the
remind
requirement?
them that they disclose why, if they're denying you for a job, that you can request a copy of the background check in case they're denying you on something that is inaccurate or misleading or something you can.
And what is the name? Like, how do I look this up later and remind myself more about it?
Fair Credit Reporting Act. Yeah,
Go
so
on.
it now again, that's like we have a few people right now who were told they were denied for being you know, dishonest or not truthful on their application process, and we have told them like go request a copy of the background check under the Fair Credit Reporting Act requirements. And you know, it again, like a lot of things where there's minimal legal teeth, you know, some it depends how much you push, whether you can get it or not, or how many hoops you want to go through to try to get that
Well,
copy.
and of course, you know, whatever you get out of that doesn't give you the job.
Right. It just is more
And even if
information,
it did, like, would
potentially.
you want the job with a person who's feeling yucky about you?
Yeah.
That's
So
yucky.
usually it's more to see if there was something obvious that no longer should be on the background check, because there are some studies too that show even the FBI databases used for background checks have can have anywhere up to half of the records are inaccurate or misleading. Like a dismissed charge that shouldn't remain on one's record in some states, especially.
Right.
But we're also seeing on the property management side, and again, I know a lot of this group knows this intimately, of the, you know, spending a lot of money trying to get into housing through applications. And then if you're also exiting incarceration without a support system, you don't have money to
Yeah,
put down, you don't have
sure.
multiple months of income. And then we have this, you know, challenge of also now credit reports being required for many rental applications. So part of the solution, again, our founder Tanya, she wanted to develop a space for women and gender expansive people, including trans people, to come home to. And this is a picture of our farmhouse with our barn in the background. And you can see our mission is to cultivate leadership, promote sustainable livelihoods, and reap structural change with individuals impacted by the criminal legal system in North Carolina. And we are a very value-driven organization. This quote is attributed often to Bryan Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative, but we know people who have experienced this themselves know it very, you know, have said it in their own words, that each of us is more
Great
than the
movie.
worst thing we've ever done. Yeah. So, you know, we believe that very much so, regardless of someone's criminal history, each of us are capable of being harmed and capable of causing harm. And we think there's better ways to address that harm than dehumanizing people. And that's why you'll see many of our values center on empathy, second, third, fourth chances, harm reduction, centering the lived experiences. So we also say, you know, once you know one person's incarceration history, you've only heard one experience of incarceration. We try to ensure that we are well-rounded in our perspectives of incarceration. We have people who, on our majority of our staff, have been incarcerated or have had a loved one incarcerated. And then we're also in mental health or substance use recovery to try to inform and better improve our support systems. We also know that in North Carolina, Indigenous and Black women are overrepresented in the criminal legal system. And then again, I kind of spoke to right now, there's not many places for trans community members or non-binary community members to return home to. And so we're one of the few states in the plate in places in the state that provide that gender inclusive structure. And so I kind of mentioned again, we serve women and gender expansive people returning to North Carolina from a prison or jail. And I already mentioned we do so by providing safe and secure housing, living wage employment, trauma, and that gender informed wraparound services, horticulture, permaculture therapy, because we are a farm, which I'll show more in a second. This is usually where I also share, like, we are conviction agnostic. So we do not have any limitations as to what you why you went to prison. We just, you know, want you
Thank
to
you.
make sure you know that you're coming into a dual housing and employment program. You feel good about being out in the country. But we majority of our folks are on at any one point in time, I would say between 50 to 60% will be on the registry as a male,
Really?
one of two, because we're one of two
Oh,
women's
yeah,
registry
'cause they're
programs.
one of the few places they could go.
Yeah, so there's a place in Raleigh that can accept that has a few houses where people can come home. Women who can come home are on the registry, and unfortunately for men, it's still pretty much non-existent. For we get calls from people, men
Yeah,
who have loved
if you have
ones.
family, you might be able to find something. But
Yeah.
it's gotta, you know, St.
Well, we.
Louis, only 1 in 10 houses are like available.
Yeah. And when we opened, for a while, we had a second housing location in Burlington, North Carolina, about 30 minutes north of us in the same county. And we made sure that was a place people on the registry could live because of the demand in North Carolina for that type of housing. You know, we hope someday, similar, like most reentry programs are in rural or in urban communities in North Carolina, where any, I think the recent legislation made it so only probably about 75% are excluded
Yeah.
housing from people on the registry. And
Yeah,
we have
not all states
also,
do that, but it's awful.
yeah, and we have supported women whose families were going to be supportive of that person, were open and willing to house that person, but then they lived too close to daycare and they could not afford to move or afford another,
Yeah,
you know,
I
pay
was 10
hotel
feet
fees.
when my partner moved in with me, you know, he got kicked out of his place 'cause they were whatever. I was 10 feet close. Like he could live here, but only by 10 feet.
So we we're very familiar with the range of convictions that people may end up in prison for, and support people. Again, conviction agnostic is more about, what kind of life do you want for yourself now? And are you okay living in a place that looks like this in the country where, there's not accessible transportation? We are mostly providing the transportation through staff volunteers or transportation earned, like vehicles earned by residents. But we live on a 13-acre farm. We have, let me see if this, sometimes this will play, but sometimes it gets, I think it won't. Oh, there we go. So we currently have this shared housing model, and it may blank out on me. Okay, we'll see if this, sometimes this video works.
Check those things.
So we have a shared housing location, although I'll share a little bit more about how we're thinking about developing
Oh, you have
housing.
solar panels.
We have solar panels, and then we that joint housing program also ties into a employment program where people are growing herbs and flowers that get infused into a body care production line. So people come home, they have up to 2 years with us, although most are staying a year to a year and a half, and then they're finding work either in community or housing in community, or returning maybe to a community of origin. Just kind of depends on individual goals. So that, and then that goes, turns really fast, hopefully, and goes up to see the rest of our farm here. And we do have, the only animals we have on the farm are chickens right now. But we have a blueberry orchard, and this far upper left-hand corner looks a lot different today for a few reasons, which I'll share more. But we know that when we invest again in people's basic needs, we're seeing that the majority will remain home in community. And unfortunately, the 15% of our folks who have returned to incarceration, almost all of them are tied to substance use or failure to register, or on lack of housing security. Often combined with the people we serve have been also mental health challenges, which make it challenging to manage a household by yourself, but cannot access residential support systems out from a clinical setting because of the registry charges or
Yeah.
convictions.
Yeah, it makes it harder for people to stay, you know, if you're being denied all the things, and then we're expecting you to just do awesome. It's very dumb.
But when we see we are able to invest in people like this, that the we were named a few years ago a Rural Justice Innovation Program by the Council of State Judges. I think that was their title. It was called the Rural Justice Collaborative. And so we, think hopefully we're on to something here. And now I have to update this slide for next month's presentation. But I'll speak a little bit more to some of the projects that we have worked on in 2025, and then happy to answer questions. And I know there's comments in the chat, so we'll make sure to try to get to them. Any questions in there too? But I mentioned those the employment side. So we do that joint housing and employment program. As part of that, people are readjusting to the workforce by depending on the season, either growing the herbs and flowers or infusing those dried herbs and flowers into a body care line. And then we also have a soy wax candle line. And so those products are then sold, where the revenue goes back to paying people that $15 an hour minimum wage that we have as part of that employment program. And during that time, we're often working with people because we are conviction agnostic. We sometimes have people who have been incarcerated 15, 20, 27 years has been the max right now of number of years served. And people are reacclimating. So, for example, we understand that someone in prison has been told when to wake up, when to shower, when to go to work, when to eat, when to sleep. And now they're trying
Oh,
to figure out
right.
again how long it takes to get ready. So sometimes, Or they may not have. We had one person who had never had a smartphone, never knew,
Yeah.
learned how to set her alarm on her phone. And so we're, that soft landings place for people to get those things back into gear before trying to find work in the community.
So smart.
And then we also have some versions of community housing programs where we know either we can't serve everyone who comes home because of our space capacities, or we, or people have other needs they need to address, like they need to reunite with family, they need to return to a certain part of the state. And so we have worked on raising money to help with the security deposits because we know they're much higher than the average person is often paying because of that conviction history. So here
Yep.
pictured my coworker on the right is Mona, and that's Miss Barbara holding the keys to her apartment that we helped put down money for the security deposit on. And then we try to help connect people to resources after they move in. But the big project we have, and why I said the back property looks quite different, is that we're in the process of expanding into a single unit housing model. So, as I said, right now we have a shared housing model, which has its benefits for people who are trying to acclimate and step down from maybe many years of prison, but are wanting ultimately to practice living alone. This housing project was actually inspired by a woman who was on the registry. She had been incarcerated for 27 years. And when she came home, she's in her 60s, and she had said she'd never lived alone. She would had her regular, family she grew up with, and she married into another family and then was in jail and then prison. And so this was her first time practicing living alone since the early 1990s, or even living in community since the early 1990s. So she was the one asking us questions like, what would it look like for me to practice living alone and build up my skills and confidence in living alone, especially on someone who's on the registry who, she was like, I do not feel comfortable just knocking on any neighbor's door for that
Absolutely.
reason. And we ourselves have had some of that struggle. We had the house in Burlington I mentioned when we opened that location. The neighbor next door did try to get us shut down because of he was tired of people on the registry moving into that house, even though he never
Well,
had a
yeah, they make
problem.
only 1 out of 10 houses work. Well, guess what? You're going to get more applications
Yes,
than the
well,
other 9 houses.
we did try to talk to him about the fact that he was very concentrated and worried about us and his neighborhood that he lived in. Like you said, was one of those areas where only areas in Burlington, North Carolina, where people could reside on the registry. So I was like, for some reason, he felt the need to target a structured, supportive environment, and cause a lot of problems. And that's not why we are closing down that location, but it certainly caused a lot of complications.
I would really love to get like a panel discussion or a, I would love to gather people who have had success, or just made, learned maybe failures, but you learned something and now you do better or something with neighbors. Because, you hear a lot of really awful stories, but it'd be nice to have like, my story started this way, but then I did this and then. Like I would love to just get out there and, I have big dreams, but
Well, and he was the one that made things difficult, but we had many other neighbors who, part of when we moved in, we knocked on doors and, said, "Hey, here we're coming." We gave them one of our body care products as a gift, like, email us, talk to us if you have any questions, say hello. Because we had actually learned when our founder started the farm location, the neighbors in our current location also not so much centering on the registry, but it's just centering on people with convictions living in a house across the street from them. We're very angry, and to try to stop this nonprofit from starting, this is before my time. So we took those lessons learned to the next house. So I will, we had one neighbor who tried to make waves, but he did not get super far on that. And then he,
yeah, I've heard some nice stories like that where like you like learn and you're like, oh, like A to Z Traveler has a good story like that.
Yeah, and we even with our current location with our neighbors, try to just generally practice good neighbor habits. Like if we have a big event and there's
Yeah.
parking that's going to be a pain in the butt, like we'll let our neighbors know, give them a heads up. Or like the other day, we had an event where we had extra food, so we brought the food over to our neighbors. So there's aside from just what we do, the people we work with, just in general, we're like, we're all sharing this space together. So, and then, we the farm location, we've not had any neighbor problems for years. And now I would say the relationship is pretty good. I think because we have this track record, and that's also why this city of Burlington never really pursued anything, because I think we had a reputation at that point where the neighbors' complaints were kind of falling on ears that did not care to hear it, because they knew what we were, they knew our reputation. But yeah, so these tiny homes are in construction now, where we're in site work now, hope to start building in February 2026 and open in late 2026 next year. So our hope is to move
So if
more towards
anyone
that independent
watching, or
housing.
if anyone who knows anyone who's watching knows somebody with a big open space that wants to do this, I bet you guys would want to teach us.
Yeah, and we're planning on doing a webinar sometime in January, because we've heard from people across the country when we had a groundbreaking, and it was highlighted by a few media outlets, and so people have been asking how we've been trying to do this. And so we're hoping to do a webinar where people can sign up and learn all at once. And then,
Thank God, that's awesome.
yeah, and
I mean,
that
you just
too.
won the most innovative award. You should
Yeah.
be sharing with the
Yes.
world.
Yeah, that's the hope. So I would definitely recommend, if people are interested in that, on our website at benevolencefarm.org, there's a newsletter
If it would
sign up.
occur to you to send that to me, I will. Oh, you know what? I will get it because I'm on your list.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I will
great.
publish that.
And we'll probably share it on our social media platforms too, if people get their news that way. But we're Benevolence Farm on our website and our social media. And
And it's
my
just
last
farm
slide.
one, no S.
Yeah, we are a singular farm, one location. But when we designed this tiny home too, again, speaking back to Deb, who inspired this project, she was also a woman in her 60s and feeling, especially after 27 years of prison, pretty marred by health issues compounded by the prison system. And so we designed these tiny homes to be one level with an optional loft included. But they'll be full amenity, full kitchen, washer dryer stacked, full bathroom, with a living space and front porch. And that was part of formerly incarcerated people were part of this design process every step of the way. So that's again why that loft is optional. That was the first piece of feedback we heard, is no ladders up to the bed, no cramped living, sleeping spaces up top. And we put the bed on the first floor. But then people were like, well, if I have boxes or storage I want to save up, I want to put them out of the way. So that's where the ladder.
Ah, that's how you make a tiny home into a home with a little tiny attic.
Yes, and it's air conditioned and temperature control, whereas on the farm people were
Love
trying to
it.
put stuff in our barn storage room, which is not temperature controlled, and we're finding disappointing results a few months down the road, especially after the
Yes,
summer.
imagine that.
But again, we also have some programs, and we are actually changing up a little bit of this programming next year. But this year we still had in existence this program called Bonding Families. We know that over half of women in U.S. prisons are mothers. In jails, it's about 80% of incarcerated women are mothers. And in Bonding Families program, which again, my colleague Mona, who is a formerly incarcerated mother herself, who reunited with her daughters and son, who's not pictured, that family reunification goes beyond just the initial physical reunification, and that there, is for her, after 5 years of separation, rebuilding relationships with essentially new
Yeah.
children, new little children, they were toddlers
5 years
when
older or
she's
whatever. Yeah.
incarcerated. So she works with parents in North Carolina, trying to guide them through reunification process, conflict resolution, with spouses or family members, or co-parenting. She is actually moving back home to her hometown of Detroit next year, so she will be taking her skills with her if anyone's from Michigan. But while she's been here, she's taught us and developed our programs a lot, so we hope to continue, while it may not be the formal program we have, taking those lessons into the family reunification process that many of our folks are trying to work on.
Wow. I was just about to I type in the chat. I got half of it in. Girl Scouts has a program called Girl Scouts Beyond Bars, where once a month they gather up kids. They like pick them up, take them out to prison for the visit their parents day, and give them like Girl Scout programming if they want to like, basically participate in something that they'd be doing if they weren't in prison. It's
Yeah.
really cool
Nice.
program.
Yeah, so those are
So
kind
thank
of
you for your
end.
really cool program.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's usually where I end, like when I do this, this is our, normal presentation we use in a lot of different areas, but our body care and fragrance products do ship nationwide. We have a donation community as well, where even some people donate $5 a month to support this work. But I think the bigger, like you said earlier, the biggest part is sharing this work with others and trying. We're not intending to expand to every community because we also believe it's important that people from the community build what their community needs. And like
Yeah,
I
and
said earlier,
you can't. You shouldn't be asked to.
yeah. And like I said earlier too, there's even like the differences between. We've gotten to trainings with people in cities, how they do reentry in their city programs is different how we do it in our rural.
Of
And
course.
even in Alamance County, if y'all, ever come to the Greensboro, it's like in the middle of the state. And people from Appalachia have very different ways of doing reentry too. And I would be, they make fun of us when
Sure.
we say we're rural. And they're like, well, you haven't been at, you're not Appalachia rural. But,
Yeah.
that's again why every community kind of needs to build this,
Yeah,
but we'd be happy to lower the barrier of entry and share what has and hasn't worked. And like I said too, like we're benevolencefarm.org at on our website, our email is info@benevolencefarm.org, social media is benevolencefarm.org. And so I'm happy to let me stop share there. And I'm happy to go through the chat or answer any questions
All
that
right, so everybody, yeah, at the bottom you got the little share button, and Ann Smith has already figured it. I'm sorry, you were supposed to change your last name. If I have to edit that out, I'm gonna remember what time it is. 7:29. Okay, unmute.
AS and S.
Oh, okay.
Even when you register your
Anyway,
city.
kudos to you because I was one of the very first visitors to Benevolence Farm with some women from Christchurch in Raleigh. Looking to see what sort of things like that could happen. And the question at the time was, did anyone really want to farm or not farm? And there was a really cool guy who was helping set up the farm. And I think there was an NC State group building what, like a
A
the
bar,
Yeah, that awning part, like in the shape
greenhouse or
or
something.
greenhouse. Yeah.
Oh
And,
yeah.
you know, I mean, you were just really, really starting. And I felt it was very innovative and I felt very hopeful for you. So you've come leaps and bounds in all these years. And I think at the time too, you were having trouble getting people to come to the house. There weren't enough beds yet, and it was really early on. So what a wonderful job you've all done. And we did visit, what, last year, I think.
A couple of years ago.
And we're so impressed with how far you've come, and you're doing great, great work. So
Well, thanks, Anne. Yeah, your knowledge of Benevolence precedes even mine. I'm about to 3 days from now. I'll be have been in staff in this position for 6 years,
awesome.
and we no longer have the problem of people applying. It's the other way around. We just can't keep up with the demand, unfortunately.
Right.
I was going to ask you how off is the demand? How many
You change
people
the
do you have to
manufacturer.
deny because you don't have enough?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I know in 2024, at least 43 women we were not able to offer housing to. The tricky part this year is we have had to tell people to just, we've discouraged from people to even applying because we just knew there was no way we would have the bed
So how
space
many
for
can you
them.
house, and what is the How many people are asking?
Yeah. So,
And of course, some of those people find something somewhere.
yeah, I mean, I would say, we can accept, historically, we would say we can accept up to six people at a time. So we're kind of at seven times the amount of bed space. We
Wow.
are moving to a model where our shared housing space will, we used to have shared rooms, and that was a bit of a challenge for conflict
Sure.
resolution skill sets. We're all adults. We want our own space, especially for people who are coming home from prison. So we will be
Yeah.
moving when the tiny homes are established. We will have three people initially in the main house and then seven people in the tiny homes for a total of 10 people at a time.
And you're going to do a total of four tiny homes. You're not going to expand it to the rest of that space.
We will do seven at one time, and then we're not gonna, our farmland can't handle more than seven, and we will
Okay,
stop
so
there.
eventually you'll have seven there and six there.
Three in the main house because we're not gonna, we have three bedrooms, so we're gonna move down to only a
You're
full
going to
each.
move some of the people that are currently trying to cram into the house into the
Yeah, and people
tiny house.
have up to usually a year, year and a half, where they may leave earlier. We have no minimum requirement. So people, sometimes we have room, we may serve more people in a year
Right.
if people move out more quickly. The last year, though, we had a lot of people who were using the majority of their 2 year period. And so we had slower movement in and
Yeah,
out of the house.
sure. But man, wouldn't it be nice if more people could do something like this? I have big dreams about my younger daughter is a she's a concierge at a nursing home at a assisted living facility. It's a pretty nice place, and she really loves the job. And so I have this dream that, like, by the time, whatever, I'll have all this money and I'll give her some money and she'll buy a building and then she'll turn it into like a sex positive. I'm not gonna judge you for something that happened when you were 23. You're an old dude. You just need care. We are so far from that right now. It's very sad. It's
Yeah,
nice
and
to
our
see you, everyone, with their pictures on. I love seeing your pictures on. Okay, so Anne, do you have another question, or is this the same question or a comment? Really, let's just converse. Anyone who wants to talk can raise their hand. I gotta unmute you again. Okay.
yes, I have a question. I also went with Anne a couple of years ago and saw took the tour of Benevolence Farm and saw the production going on in the basement of the house. And that my question is, did the residents of the house, is that enough people to actually run all of the operations of the farm? And is
That
that
can,
the intent that it'll be self-sustaining in that sense?
yeah, our goal for the social enterprise is that we will sell enough products that we can compensate fully, like be self-sustainable for on the social enterprise side. Currently, we do subsidize from the nonprofit. In terms of your question about is that enough work or is it do we need more people? It is been up and down because sometimes we have people. And it's a little bit of an odd situation where someone might come live with us and they might really thrive in the farming part, but not so much the body care. But then the farm goes into hibernation and this time of year, and they kind of have to be in the body care. So, like this season, we definitely were a bit more understaffed on body care of people who were comfortable and more well trained and well versed in body care. Whereas earlier in this year, we had plenty of people on the farm operation. Although, we can always use more people weeding out the
Yeah,
garden.
well, and
And
some people are just harder workers than others.
yeah, we have different abilities too, and that's another big factor. Like some people, especially after
Sure.
prison, can't move their back the
Absolutely.
same way or their legs or their knees, or hip joints especially are a big one for a lot of the women we work with. So it is, yeah, and then some people have, we have had people who've never worked a job, like a W-2 tax job in their life, or had never been on a regular schedule. And then we have people who, were able to work in prison or had the access to those jobs in prison, and other people who did not. So it can be a mixed bag. What I do know and what I can say for sure is we have not built enough revenue where we can fully self-sustain yet. And our hope would be, not only can we self-sustain, but we can continue to increase the wage of folks. So I don't think we're not trying to be a social enterprise that grows and grows and grows because we also need to be able to source from our farm and we don't want to destroy the integrity of the land that we're on. So, we should definitely grow in that sustainable way. And we are happy to have volunteers. If the challenging part is, when we need volunteers is during the work week, and that's when the volunteers are at work. But we have some
Are.
people who do come out. And next year, one of our hopes is to build up a volunteer leadership team For example, so people, a volunteer who doesn't work on Saturday could lead a group of other volunteers on Saturday, so staff don't have to work a sixth or seventh day to manage that type of thing.
Was Thistle Farm a role model for you, and does it continue to be?
Yeah, so Thistle Farm was, and they actually have an S on their farms. I always like
Farms,
confused.
right? Yeah.
Yeah, that we get
What's the
confused.
name of the other farm?
Well, they're not a farm, but they are a social enterprise that does body care and
Yeah.
candles. And they, yes, one of our resident alumni actually, while she was part of the farm, said to Matt, who I think is who y'all met, the farmer, social worker who helps get the farm started, she said to him, you know, like, we don't have a lot of work in the winter. What if we did something like this place, Thistle Farms, that does body care? And so we're definitely have learned from them and been in learning spaces with them. We've gone to a conference of theirs. I've been to their location one or two times. We're, I think, similar in a lot of ways. And then, like, I think the biggest difference between our social enterprises is that we have sourced some of the herbs and flowers from our farm, whereas Thistle Farms is more conceptual in name than in practice. But then I think they've just grown a ton. I mean, they're a $6 million social
I mean,
enterprise.
Becca Stevens is very, very inspirational.
Yeah, and she's been doing that this for 25 to 30 years, I believe. Benevolence for our social enterprise, this is year 7. So we're and a lot of it was hard luster during COVID. I mean, we did well during COVID in terms of revenue sales, but I started full time December 19th, or I started my role December 19th, full time January 1, 2020. So we haven't had the typical, I have not had the typical executive director experience.
I did not have the typical executive director experience either. So I feel you. Ken, you got your hand up. Hang on, I gotta figure out how to unmute him. Oh, I see it. I got it.
There. Thank you. Yes, I'm part of Nebraska's Reentry Alliance, and we do have a woman's house in Omaha, but we have a lot of sustainable farming out here in Nebraska. I'd love to find somebody to connect with you because I think what you're doing is just wonderful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity there. And like I said, next year we're hoping to have like a lot, maybe do a lot more webinars and what we've learned. And there's a care farming network that if y'all are able to go to Maryland in February, we will be speaking at. I guess in
Nice.
Haithersburg, outside of Baltimore. But the Care Farm Network is one that is a nonprofit in itself that supports these ideas of care farms, whether you're employing or supporting people with an intellectual and developmental disabilities, formerly incarcerated people, veterans, combination of those identities. They have some pretty good online resources, and they do monthly meetups, and they have some really cool people. And so, yeah, Care Farm Network is another good resource as well for bridging the gap between the nonprofit and the farm. And I see too a question in the chat about making body care. So we do make goat's milk soap. We also have a healing salve, a muscle rub, a soothing lotion, a body care sample pack. We make loofah infused soap, which is we grow the plant loofah, which a lot of people don't know is a plant. It's in the cucumber family. And then we take the loofah, which is like a sponge, exfoliating sponge, and embed it in a soap round. And then I'm trying to think what else we have any other body care right now. I think those are our main body care. And then we do have a soy wax candle product line in there made with paraben, phthalate, carcinogen-free fragrances that are certified to be healthy in that way. So, and we ship nationwide.
Fancy. That's a lot of labels.
Yes. And it's all, yeah. And I will
Strong work.
drop the shopping link in the.
Yes, definitely drop the shopping link because it's Christmas and it's the time of year when here's the problem that I'm having. Like, I hate rich people and I'm so done with me spending a bunch of my money on your company that is making you like the richest human being in the universe or whatever on the list. I don't want to spend money on those things. But if I could go straight to a person and it's a person who needs my money, that's brilliant.
Yes, and not to rush anyone, but tomorrow is our sh or tonight is our shipping deadline, so we can't.
Oh, let's do that right now.
Yeah, we can't guarantee on time Christmas delivery unless you rush it. If you order beyond tonight, but I that being said,
It's just a number.
we
It's
have
just a
gift
number. I could just
cards.
put a little card in there that says, I'm
It's
late. For
coming.
God's sake, we're moving. Give me a break.
And we have gift cards and things like that online too. But yes, if you're not on a timeline, shop anytime. We're available year round. And ship across the United States. And we also will do, we've done weddings, we've done baby showers, we've done custom label for conferences and businesses. So there's a lot of ways to partner. And we also do wholesale sometimes with retail shops. So if you have a favorite shop, gift shop, you can always ask, tell them to look for us on this website called Faire, FAIRE.
Really?
And
Really?
stores across the country can source from us as well.
Brilliant. That's very cool. I like evidence that there's still good things in the world because some days it's hard to find that.
Yeah, well, and I'll say in North Carolina, we're in a bit of a, as a southern state, we have a bit of luck in the sense that our previous governor signed us on, along with the state of Missouri, to be one of the first states to commit to reentry 2030, which is,
Did Missouri commit to that?
and I think
Oh.
Louisiana is now joined on. There's a few more states, but I know North Carolina and Missouri were some of the first.
Well,
And
Missouri does
then,
not usually do good things for me. But
yeah, my
that's great.
grandparents are from Missouri and would say the same. But
It's
yeah, I'm trying to look at.
usually Missouri like says, no, please stop having puppy mills. And then the legislators are like, oh yeah? Watch this.
Yeah, so
We're gonna undo that.
North Carolina's legislature is definitely challenging. It looks like some of the quick states I've found, Nebraska is also committed to reentry 2030. And I think the idea is to significantly reduce the reentry or significantly reduce the barriers to reentry. I'm trying to see what
Hell
other
yeah. Can
states.
you put that chat that's in the chat? I should read that
Yes.
article.
And so I
We're
will.
moving soon, and I am not keeping up with anything.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, we're a national organization, so I can't possibly pay attention to every state. But I
Sure.
should kind of pay attention to the state I live
Yeah, well, and I will. The reason I bring up Reentry 2030 is North Carolina. It looks like Alabama, Arizona, Missouri, Nebraska, New York, North Carolina, and Washington State are those who have committed to Reentry 2030. And
Wow.
depending on how recently they've committed, they have to submit a strategic plan for their reentry goals. And so we have been in conversation with the Council of State Governments on how reentry housing, particularly for elderly people, for people on the registry. And for the trans community. And so we have kind of advised them on what we see as those major barriers to those communities. But
You're like
our
the loveliest of the lovey. You know what I mean? Like there's people who are like they're willing to be nice to certain people, but you're like willing to be nice to people that no one's willing to be nice to. Makes you double nice.
Thank you. Yeah, and our current governor has signed on to continue the Reentry 2030 project, but it's actually more
Nice.
his wife, who's a attorney and public health expert in her own right. She is kind of the one, she has decided as First Lady in North Carolina that she's going to push reentry as in addition to Reentry 2030. So she actually joined us for a groundbreaking ceremony, and her intent is to visit every prison in North State Prison in North Carolina, and to try to highlight what's happening in the prisons. So we
I
kind
wish
of
we could get the whole world to stop thinking about the way we imprison people as normal. Because we imprison so many more people than anyone else. And everyone's just like, well, of course you deserve 30 years in prison. No one gets better after 30 years in prison. No one. It's ridiculous.
Nor is it any better than 15.
Say that again.
30 years in prison doesn't make anybody better off than 15 years.
Yep.
Nebraska is doing a very interesting thing on reentry. They've decided that felons are the best people to help people getting out of prison. And so they allow not only contact between felons, but set up groups like our Reentry Alliance and our Nebraskans Unafraid for people on the regular
Hell yeah.
to help other felons. And the parole officers are introduced while the person is in prison so they can work out a plan when they reenter and who are the community people to support them.
Yeah, we definitely have in North Carolina a pretty robust community health worker model that's similar. And they there's a at a University of North Carolina, there's a clinic called FIT, which is like formerly incarcerated transitions, and they majority of them are men who are employed to support other men returning home. We also have the certified peer support program in North Carolina, where three of our current staff are certified peer supports, two of whom have experienced either jail or pr prison co car incarceration or both. We have had staff before who've been on the registry. We don't currently have any, but we have in the past. And so that I can certainly say, as an organization that started off not having formerly incarcerated staff to now having the majority of our staff be formerly incarcerated, that cultural shift you're alluding to is it's hard to measure, but it was pretty noticeable about how much more people disclosed, or even if they felt closer to a certain person on the staff because they had a similar experience in prison, or they were even incarcerated together. Sometimes that has helped. And what we have heard from the people we serve is seeing someone get to the point that they hope to get to, and knowing the path that they have walked makes it a lot more feel a lot more doable and realistic than if I, who have not experienced incarceration, I've had a loved one experience incarceration, but my experience doesn't, they're kind of like, well, that makes sense for you. Like you're not in the same shoes as
You gotta
me.
have this, you gotta have a similar background.
Yeah,
I
so.
met my partner after the whole trial, incarceration, all of that. So all I had to deal with was parole, which sucks, and registry bullshit and polygraph. Like I dealt with a lot of things, but I don't have any I can't empathize really with all the things that I didn't have to go through. And I always think I'd rather have a person on my team who has dealt with difficult things and figured them out than a person who's never dealt with the difficult things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Love it all. Okay, so, ow. Kristen, do you have more that you'd like to share with us? It's only 7:50, so you haven't been here the whole time we're here, but we don't need to make you stay here and keep talking to us all night if you don't want to. Do we have more questions for Kristen? If not, I am thrilled to stay on and just talk to, some of my friends who I've met in person, and I'd love to just chit chat. I would really like us to start offering, we've got actually two volunteers who've agreed to start learning the hows and whys to be a peer support circle. So I'd love to just hang out and chit chat.
Well, thank you for having me. I'll also put in the chat the direct link to that newsletter I was
And tell us
mentioning.
where in North Carolina, what actual city you're in, because I'm gonna look that up.
Yes, we're in Graham, North Carolina, like graham cracker. but the don't be confused, Graham County, North Carolina. If you're looking in the mountains, you're in the wrong spot. We are between Greensboro and Chapel Hill in the middle of the state. So yeah, Graham, North Carolina, Alamance County, North Carolina. If you like Anne and family, if you're in the area or ever passing through, we do farm tours between March and Thanksgiving. So we are closed for the winter, but we'll open next year. And we also hope to have a series of community-based events to celebrate the tiny home community opening. And I do see a question: do you think this model could work with men? And I think so. And I think there are a lot of organizations doing this with men of different,
We need more.
flavors. When yeah
We
that
need more of all the things, and not just farms,
right
literally. You can come up with any kind of community because we all do better in community, and that's the one thing we just deny felons. We deny them the ability to have other friends, and it's really impactful. Just one conference. Greg went with me to one conference, met like, I don't know, I didn't count how many people. And I could see a difference in the way he just behaved, thought about himself.
Yeah, and we've
So
often said,
I love the community part of it. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. Like once you've met people at the farm, I wouldn't be surprised if after you leave the farm, you're still talking to those people, They don't have to be your next door neighbor to be in community with you.
we try to maintain a alumni Facebook group and alumni chat, like text thread as we can with our alumni to keep connected. But I was going to say too, like, we hope, like you said, for more reentry programs because it's even for us, like there's no hard
If not,
feelings with
you
someone.
can only help 1 out of 7 out of 42. That's not enough.
Yeah. And also some people know they're not going to thrive in a rural environment or don't want to come to our area or we're too far from supportive family. Or their children. And so, there's no hard feelings when someone goes to a Rise Collective or goes home out to Asheville.
We need to make all the options.
Yeah, so
Okay.
giving people that choice. My hope would be we kind of go back to how we started where we're saying come to Benevolence. We want you here, and they're trying to choose between all their, like college options where they have a menu of things that are available to them.
Oh, that would be great.
And, we're also kind of, we don't do this as formally, but we're also trying to build community outside of policing too, where people are addressing community conflict with one another, rather than relying on police and incarceration. So our hope is, yes, on the back end, as people get out, they have support systems to go, and on the front end, that we're not even centering those as conflict resolution options, which is something we try to model on the farm. Through that like conflict resolution, transformative justice, how do we
Right, because
build safety and community?
some people don't know how to do that, and prison probably doesn't encourage that. I love everything about that.
But yeah, like I
Hang
said,
on,
feel
you
free to
started
reach
talking
out.
about something that I was going to talk about, something that I
Well, I was
forgot.
going to say Jubilee Home is for Isaac, who asked in the chat. The one of our partner organizations is Jubilee Home in Durham, North Carolina. They don't have a farm per se, but they have a community garden that actually serves the, they're in a more urban, condensed neighborhood in Durham, and so they provide like the neighborhood can benefit from the community garden. They're working on a Jubilee Flowers social enterprise, which we're consulting with them on. As an employment for people with traumatic brain injury and developmental disability who are formerly incarcerated. And then the one challenge, again, I spoke to this earlier, they would love to serve people on the registry. The house that came into their laps happened to
Oh,
be in a
is that
neighborhood just
compliant?
too close to a school. And that is
So
where
dumb.
the
It's
biggest
so dumb.
challenge.
You know that Minnesota did a study. I think this is Minnesota. I could be wrong about the Minnesota, where they compared the registry, like where people lived next to each other, compared to all 25 years of crimes against children. Not a single time did where the person lived make, like, it wasn't a location thing. So, like, this is just punishment. That's all it is.
So I think, there are places that are trying to do it for men. I would say there's more options for men who are in substance use recovery because you can kind of sometimes get a flavor of reentry support in a recovery home. But it's often hard for people who don't have substance use history to find reentry housing. And that's also why, like, we don't have a requirement that you're in recovery or for mental health or substance use. Like, it's really just, have you been into a North Carolina prison or jail, and are you rooted in North Carolina? We have served some people in federal prison as well. There is no women's prison for federal incarceration in North Carolina, but the way we think about that is if you were from and rooted in North Carolina and you're returning home to North Carolina, that's when we think about supporting people from federal prison system. And we've done some federal parole as well. And so, but yeah, I think again, like feel free, benevolencefarm.org, any of those emails you find on the website probably go to me in some way. So don't hesitate to reach out. The w newsletter is the best way to get up to date news from us. And again, if
And if
you're
I'm getting
passing through next
sales,
year,
am I going to get a newsletter also?
I think you have to opt in.
Oh,
To
okay.
there's like an opt-in version. I would just sign up just to be safe, in case you miss that on checkout. But yeah, we definitely that newsletter subscribe link I put in the chat is an easy way to ensure you're getting the newsletters. And when in doubt, it doesn't hurt to sign up twice because it'll just send you to the one. And then
Yes.
I appreciate y'all having me tonight too in your space and in your community because I know this is a
Thank you
big
for giving us
challenge.
positive, that's helpful to see.
Yeah.
And Ken telling me that in Nebraska, you're doing really good entry re-entry work. That's another positive thing to hear.
Unfortunately, it's only the state prisons. Federal is still a real difficult thing to deal with because feds. You can't associate with other people who are former felons, and
Which is everyone, and no one else wants to talk to you.
right,
It's
but
all the people you know now. It's dumb.
yeah.
Yeah, let's just socially isolate you and hope that you're gonna just do better just for out of like, of course you're not gonna do better.
All right.
Of course, you're going to miss registration dates,
At
you
least
know?
Nebraskans, I'm afraid, is federally authorized. So,
Yeah. And I will say, too, if anyone has loved ones in North Carolina, while it's not housing, I don't want to forget Our Journey, which let me put their organization name in the chat. They are a nonprofit here in North Carolina, composed of formerly incarcerated men, several of whom are on the registry, and employed with Our Journey, and they draft county by county reentry resource guides that they found helpful and other formerly incarcerated people have found helpful. They try to minimize like the dead ends, but we use their resource guides when we can't help someone with housing. We will send them the reentry guide for the county they're returning home to. And again, it's not going to fix all the problems. It's not direct housing, but Our Journey, I think, does a good job of advocating as people who have been formerly incarcerated and some who are on the registry as well. So yeah, there are definitely a few, not a ton of reentry housing slash employment groups in North Carolina, but we're hoping to build more. But there are certainly a lot of good advocacy groups in North Carolina.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah. So, Second Chance Alliance is another one that is composed of people of all different conviction experiences. But Our Journey, I know specifically. So, and sorry, it's Second Chance Alliance. So I'll just put that under your.
Oh,
Oh, and I
sorry.
spelled Alliance wrong too,
You
but
know what? I can edit.
oh.
Edit. I'm gonna just go back and I'm gonna edit it.
Okay.
Alliance.
Cool.
Is that
Why?
also North Carolina?
Yeah, it's the North Carolina Second Chance Alliance. But yeah, thank
North
y'all. My
Carolina.
sister just graduated from college and she's back home, so we're all hanging out tonight. So I'm gonna head back and
Yes, go do
hang
that.
out with
Okay,
her.
one more time, tell it to me because it started covering it up. North Carolina.
NC Second Chance Alliance is the full name. And that's in the chat if anyone
Okay.
can still look it up.
Well, enjoy time with your family person.
Thank
There we
you.
go. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I said in the chat that I'm willing to stay on and talk a bit if anybody wants to just catch up, like Ken or Chuck or Ancine. Thank you for
All right.
coming. We really
Talk to y'all
appreciate your time. It
soon.
was so informative.
Thank you. Bye.
Anyway, oh, Emmy's on here. Garner's on here. Plenty of people. So we have another 28 minutes. Greg went to bed early. I can unmute you all. I don't know. Can I do that? Let's unmute. Chuck, talk to me. Or I could just go read my book. That's also a possibility.
They say sometimes in winter, I have no feeling. I tend to just have to tell one Spring Valley down that about
Okay, apparently I'm being too
the
cool.
girl.
All right, thank you for coming, everybody. Something weird is going on over there.
What's going on?
I was just bored, so I started unmuting people, and then all of a sudden I could hear someone talking who didn't know I had unmuted them. You know what I'm saying? So
Oh.
now I'm going to just remute people. Are you going to talk to me though, Chuck?
Yeah.
How's every little thing?
I don't know. I've been crazy busy working on stuff, dealing with the cold. Had a little bit nicer day today, and I guess tomorrow's going to be a little bit nicer day, and then we're going to get cold again, I think.
Yeah, we do have a couple of nice days here too, and I've been thinking, I don't know if there's anything that needs to be done outside, that's the way to do it. What did someone just say that I was like, ooh, I should write that down?
What's
So
the
Ken is on here, Chuck is on here.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Chuck.
I don't know if you know, do you ever meet Jim? Your mom may or may not be listening. Oh, she's from Michigan. There's all kinds of people on here. How's it going, Emmy? Hang on, do I have to unmute her? Yes, I do. Now you're unmuted, I think. Oh, how come my video's not on? Since when do I not put on my own video?
Yeah, your video hasn't been on for a while.
Your silliness. So, Emmy, you should be able to talk, I think, maybe.
She's
Or not.
unmuted. Nope, got muted.
Get muted again. Well, it's on her end then,
Okay.
because on my side it says, oh no, there. Try that. Maybe it was me. Sorta. Okay, it's toggling back and forth. Right now, you should be able to talk. That's annoying. Technology is annoying. Well, tell me how you are in the chat, Emmy. It's annoying. So, next week, 2 weeks from now, on the 30th, Tuesday, the 30th of December, we're going to have just a chit chat thing. And I might connect with my boys and get them to write us some little fun things. She's good. Well, okay, that's not at all. She's struggling. Chuck, you got no ideas for her? Isn't there like a, how about click the thing beside the audio box and say, Chuck told me how to do this once. Test speaker and microphone. Click, so down on the bottom row it says audio. You click on the little up arrow to the right of it, and then you scroll down to test speaker and microphone. And that'll tell you, oh, here's the problem. Your speaker is not working. Would you like to access this possible win? It tries to help you.
Not yet.
Anyway. Get it fixed before December 6th, 30th, and then we can chat. It'll be great. Is anybody planning to go to DC for the DC? Chuck, do you know if is Janice going to do that again?
Just the thing at the Supreme Court. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to add on to that because that's dumb. I'm not going all the way to DC to do that. So I'm going to add on. Let's just add on a couple of things. If anybody wants to join me, it'll be fun, more fun. Because, like, why go all the way there and just stay one night? Crazy talk. Wow, look how many K's we have today. So many K's. It's a lot of K's. So you got your job back, your roof. Did they come out saying they'd fix it?
No, because the roof's covered with 6 inches of snow, so they
But
can't.
they said that they will. They came out and like did something, right?
They were going to inspect it, but they couldn't because it was covered with snow.
They knew it was covered with snow. You told them that, and they said, "Oh."
Yeah. So they
So you
said
knew
that
they couldn't do the job?
they'll check
Dumb.
me once a week until the roof is clear and they can come look at it.
That was what a waste of their time. I guess that's what roof people do in the snow because they want to get paid for doing something.
Yeah, so they come out and see that it's still covered with snow. And then they schedule it for another week later.
Yeah. That's not efficient, and I'm all about efficiency.
But I mean, I wouldn't go up on a roof covered with snow either.
No, but like they knew, like they could have asked you, and I think you told them that your roof was covered with snow, and they were like, oh, it's fine. Dumb. So dumb. All right. Oh, I forget to tell people how to save the chat. Should I do that before I forget? Go to the three dots in the little chat space and say save chat. And then when you finished it, when you finish and close this out, it just throws itself off the edge. So Ken and I have not connected. Oh no, other Ken. It was other Ken. Other Ken and I both were spending quite a bit of time, and Greg actually were spending quite a bit of time talking to a young man who invited me to his sentencing hearing where he got three times as much time as we were prepared for. And that sucked. I did not sleep for at least a night, thought about it all day the first day, couldn't sleep that night, thought about it all day the next day. And eventually you just gotta like, turn it off. Sad. I don't know how anybody thinks, like, how does anybody think that that amount of time is good for anyone? It's like outrageously expensive. It's, screwing people up who are attending there as prisoners and also the people who are working at the place. It's just yucky on both ends. And how did we get this way, Like if they had taken in the whatever 30 any other generation but before the 90s when we started just like busting at the seams. I wonder when did, am I right? Where was it in the 80s that we started locking up? Because now it's 10 times as many as other countries. When
I
did
don't know.
that start? Yeah. I'm gonna go ask the internet. We want a graph of incarceration rates in the US over time. That is what we want. No, I don't want to talk to AI, but I do want to talk to
It
this.
on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I think I finally.
All right.
Yay! Good
Yay.
job.
Thank God.
We thought you might be the AI.
Right then. Be careful.
There we go. State policy. This is the graph that we are looking for. So there's a lot of graphs here. So I'm gonna have to explain which graph we're talking about. But if you go to that site and scroll down a bunch of numbers down, I'll just share my screen. How about that? So smart. So this is state policy and then incarceration rates over time. So starting 1925, Everything's pretty normal, and it's probably growing at the pace that people are growing until the 80s. So late 70s into the 80s, 90s. It peaks in, was that like 2010? And now it's falling. Oh, but it's going back up. Oh, great. Just what we need. Lots more people in local jails.
Yeah, that was probably that dip was probably COVID.
Oh.
Because so many people died in jail, probably.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. That's probably just deaths. But what is this? That's not COVID. So that's
No.
basically, maybe that's good.
That's a peak.
Yeah. It's still awful. Like, it's still awful. And the thing is, it's been this way for so long. This is like a lifetime, from the 90s to now. That's like 30 years. People don't remember what the world was like more than 30 years ago. It's just sad. Wow. What years are these? Or what is, oh, US versus people in cart. Oh,
14% of the population, but 42% of the
That's
prison
three
population.
times. That's a raise of three times. Three times more likely to be incarcerated. Whereas white people are, I'd have to get my calculator for that one. I'm not doing that one in my brain. So 58 minus 36 is 22 divided by 58. 38% less. So your chances decrease by about a third, a little over a third. That's sad.
Native American three times.
Say that again.
The bottom one, Native American, was 1% of the population,
Yep,
3%
three
prison.
times more, and three times more here.
Yeah.
You're right. You're three times more likely. Three times more likely.
Well,
I
a
don't know if
team
that's a,
dropped
no,
too.
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it wrong. That's not true. Ignore that. I love Prison Policy Initiative. Oh, I think about this one a lot. Just like how much money, because I'm always like, why are we just not following the money? But the reason we're not following the money is all these companies don't want to quit earning money,
Of course
right?
not.
All these people doing all this work, the people delivering the food and the people, selling us nonsense and the people taking money, pretending like they're going to do a project at the prison and then they don't really do it. It's what we do. It's like our national fucking, sorry. It's our national pastime. Sorry about the cuss word. Oh, and then prison gerrymandering. You guys know about prison gerrymandering?
No, what's that?
They take people from the city, like for example, war on drugs. The war on drugs allowed them to basically make new laws in cities. Like in Harlem, it was illegal to congregate. I might be wrong about where, because I don't pay attention enough. But they made it illegal to congregate with other people.
Certain areas.
Well, yeah, like in a whatever block radius in Harlem, it was illegal for example, a black teenage man. I guess whatever, a black person to be congregating with another black person, they would start calling it a gang if it was more than two people. And if you were doing something, shoplifting or graffiti or really doing anything they didn't like, which is lots of teenagers, they would make it so that instead of just getting in trouble for this thing that you did, they'd like magnify it and you get way more sentence. And then they take all those people out of the cities, right? Move them to the suburbs, or to the rural communities, and then the rural community gets to count them for their representation. But when these men go home, they don't have their right to vote. So we basically transferred all those, for every person that's in prison, we get more legislatures, and then we take away their right to vote. Very bad. My daughter did her high school. They had a year-long class where you could like study stuff and then give presentations about it. And she didn't pick prison gerrymandering, but she picked the likelihood to get arrested, to the likelihood to get stopped, the likelihood to get arrested, the likelihood to get convicted based on race. And, of course, found that it was completely messed up. Oh, man. Can we go back to thinking the world is a good place? How did that look?
Absolutely.
Somebody tell me a happy story.
Okay. I have a new family that's moved up from Missouri. A guy, fellow AJ, who's on the registry, his sister, brother-in-law, his fiance, and his sister and brother-in-law's two children. We've been helping them out, and I took them out to, some kind of community help, but I didn't have, I'd be somewhere else when they left. So he called me, I called him to make sure he got home okay. And he says, yeah, the community help people ordered a lift and paid for it. So he got home.
That's sweet. That's really nice. We
Well,
are
I
in the process of moving, and it's just sucking up all my, like, oh my God, it's so much work. And I thought I was like not as bad as I used to be as far as like collecting stuff, but it just collects you sometimes,
I
you
have a
know?
box in the bedroom that says, come on, throw it away.
Like I used to have an Airbnb, and now for a long time we haven't had it, and so I have a lot of sheets because I had to be able to flip the whole house every time I, turned it over. But we're not, I think we're not going to Airbnb at this time because I won't be here to do the work and I don't want to pay someone to do the work. But I don't want to throw away all the, I don't want to give away all those sheets because then if I decide to Airbnb in the future, I got to repurchase them. That seems dumb. Anyway, anybody else got an interesting comment? Chuck, tell me something I don't know. Oh, so does anybody want to go to? I don't know if Francine is still on. She is not. But Francine and me and a guy named, I don't remember all the other people, but I'll find the email thread. We went on the day that you guys all went to the Capitol or to the Supreme Court. We went to the lawmakers and like gave little spiels, and we practiced ahead of time. Galen like got on the phone with us and helped us like develop our, 30-second speech and our blah blah blah. It was really impactful. We had a very nice time. We got to meet with the both the House and Senate judicial committees. And one of those was like a really big deal. House, I think. Anyway, Galen's brilliant. And we'd like to do that again.
well, I'm going to sign off, but tell Greg hi from me, and
I will.
I really enjoyed listening to the program.
Excellent. All right. Love you all. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And we're gonna just have it just I'm gonna come up with something. Nobody would say yes to being the day before.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.